Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith Q1 IMS. My name is James, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand over to Miles Roberts to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us today. I am Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith. This morning, we're pleased to release our Q1 interim management statement. I'd like to take a few minutes to run through the highlights of that statement, after which I'd be delighted to take any questions that you have. It's been a good start to the year. We're encouraged, and every part of the group is showing improvement. This is partly due to the continuing strong delivery of the previously announced synergies from the SCA Packaging acquisition, together with ongoing underlying improvements. In terms of the trading, as I've said, the current year has started well, fully in line with our plans to date. The return on sales and return on capital employed have also continued to improve, all as anticipated. The packaging business has performed well, and whilst the European markets remain challenging, our volumes have continued to improve, and again, our volume growth has been well, fully in line with our GDP plus 1% target. And this reflects the increasing positive customer reaction to our differentiated and strong value proposition as we leverage our enlarged and strengthened geographic footprint. And with regard to the outlook, our overall outlook remains positive, and we continue to grow our business and deliver the synergies from the SCA Packaging acquisition. We expect to perform in line with our medium-term financial targets and review the remainder of the year with some confidence. We have a pre-close half-year update scheduled for October the thirtieth. And just to remind you, Adrian Marsh starts as the new Group Finance Director at the end of the month. I would like to apologies. Adrian will join us at the end of September. I would like to welcome any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star one again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Miles. Two questions, if I could. In terms of containerboard prices, we're hearing anecdotally, at least, that the price increase that was announced for August 1st has gone through. How soon do you expect to see that coming through in corrugated prices? The second question relates to volumes, and you sound positive, and it's good to hear it in terms of the outlook across the business. I mean, looking at the different divisions, either Western Europe or Central Europe and Italy or Western Europe or the UK, could you give maybe some sense by region how the volumes are developing? Thank you.
Yeah. Our volumes actually continue to improve pretty consistently now for some time for the group overall. And we're seeing those volumes rise, not just in absolute terms, but in relation to GDP. And if we look at the regions, we have seen, broadly, we've seen growth in all the major markets. Some of the smaller markets have been a little bit more challenging. Places like Belgium, pretty much showing the economy, But in all the major markets, we've seen reasonable growth, and that includes Italy, Germany, France. I think it's particularly true that our position in Central and Eastern Europe, where we've seen strong growth for some time, that's continued, and that's actually accelerated as well. So pretty much across the board, a few smaller economies, that's a little bit more challenging. I think they really are just sort of local issues. But as I said, it's been improving, not just in absolute but relative to GDP as well. And as I say, this is with an increasing return on sales and an increasing return on capital employed. So we're not, we value what we produce, and obviously our customers do as well. In terms of raw material costs, we have seen some increases in. It's predominantly, there's a little bit on energy recently, and some of the Testliner prices, this is recycled paper, have also increased. And in terms of the recovery, we, in the old DS Smith business, it's typically about 3 months. Some contracts are earlier than that. A few are later, but it's typically 3 months, and the XSCA business is moving towards the 3 months, so I think on average we're about 4 at the moment, something like that. And that's what we put in here. While some of these costs have gone up, which we expected, some raw material costs to increase, and we will recover them in due course, as we always have. It's but the increasing return on sales, etc., that we have achieved, is obviously before those increases come through.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Katrina O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning. Just two quick questions from me. Could you give a bit more colour on any particularly strong or weak kind of end markets in terms of whether, you know, industrial is holding up a bit better and, you know, what the trend you're seeing there? And secondly, in terms of the recent paper price rise, just any colour around whether or when we could start to see that kind of benefiting your paper operations? Thank you.
Mm. If we look at as a group, there's obviously, as the European economies show a sort of slightly more positive outlook, the first point of that will be the upswing in some businesses that have really been hit very hard over the last few years, and things like construction obviously spring to mind. In DS Smith, it's about the quality of the growth. And we're very focused in the FMCG sector because of the consistency of volume. Our volumes in that sector have never gone down. They've only ever increased. So as a company, there is, I think that there probably will be more of an uptick in some of the more cyclical areas. But as a group, we're very focused on, as I call it, getting quality growth. So ours is predominantly on FMCG, because that's where we're heavily focused. When you look at the industrial sectors where we are working, we have seen a slight improvement in some areas such as construction, although we have very limited exposure to it. But other areas that have been reasonably strong, say in the UK is automotive. Across Europe, aeronautics has been strong. So there are a few sort of cyclical upswings, but we're not. We need to get the right quality of growth so that, you know, whatever happens to the economies in the future, we've built our business on resilient parts of the market. And in terms of the increasing paper price, and we do obviously have a paper business, and that benefits it immediately. as the prices rise. Obviously, the price of fibre has also risen. This is what we mean by raw material costs. So paper goes up, you have to pay more for fibre, but the profitability of paper improves. That's happening now. That has an adverse effect on packaging, but then packaging will cover those costs in the over the coming months. And that's what we mean in our statement, where we say, you know, the sort of customary lag, because it does take us a few months to actually improve again the overall margin of the group, because at the moment it's just sort of paper to packaging. Because we're short on paper, there is actually a slightly adverse effect. But such is the growth in volume and the synergies, we're actually seeing an improvement in return on sales despite all of that. So, you know, this is what we mean by a good start to the year.
And our next question comes from the line of Mike Murphy from Numis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, guys. You've answered two of the three questions on volumes and prices. Can I talk a little bit about the longer term? I mean, clearly now the SEA synergies are coming through. Are you turning your attention to further consolidation of the European market? And secondly, on the other side of that, can you give us any update on where you might be in terms of disposals of some of the SEA businesses?
In terms of the business, we're absolutely delighted with the integration. But what we're finding there is we're putting a lot of work into the commercial side because our customers are crying out for some leadership in this industry, and I have to say we're getting an extremely positive response. And so there's a huge amount of work in the underlying organic growth of the group, and it's improving. So there's a lot of work there, but you're absolutely right, Mike. There are a number of opportunities there, and we are talking to a number of people. It's always difficult to know when these things will happen, but the teams are in place. Obviously, I think we've shown how we can integrate and get the customer and all the employees and the environment right for this. And so we are talking. I don't think there's anything imminent, but we're certainly turning our attention to the next stage of growth, and we think there's some very good opportunities. And obviously when you've had a successful acquisition where the customers respond well, the employees, the works council, it makes you very attractive for other companies to want to join, because they only have to talk to the guys who are working in DS Smith who joined through acquisition. Just have to go and talk to them, you know, and just talk to them about the experience that they've had and how they've become part of the group. And so it sells itself. It's quite interesting, a lot of the integration that we've been doing, if you go to France, most of it's actually run by the ex-Otal people. They're our greatest advocates. So we are very positive on that, and we are out talking. We're very disciplined on the returns that we want, the return on capital. We're here, we have industry-leading returns that are improving, and we have to make the right return for our shareholders. So a bit of a long answer to your question. There are opportunities there. We are active. We think we're attractive, disciplined in the approach. But I wouldn't underestimate the organic part that's coming through as well. We're encouraged by that.
Okay. And can just a supplementary question on the previous answer on pricing? You talked about an average of 4 months. Can you give us, SCA, I understand, used to be, or was actually 6 months in terms of getting the pricing coming through. Now, clearly, you've been talking to some of SEA's customers for a while. Mm. Have you been able to convert many of those that have come up for renewal to a shorter time period?
Yeah, it's not a... We just as we did with Dear Smith some years ago, where typically we were 6 months, we then brought it to 3. Of course, for our customers, it's not, you know, we're not here saying trying to second guess the price of paper, and we just don't know what's going to happen. It's a notoriously unpredictable business, and therefore the pass through of this of these costs is something that we're keen to do, and increasingly our customers are as well. I think they want the packaging solution. They want the real innovation. They don't want to be there trying to second guess their paper prices. So it's by no means over. Not every customer is in the camp that I've just described, but the majority of them aren't. So they are being transferred over, and I mean, to be honest with you, we get very little resistance from it because it's actually in their interest. It's in our shareholders' interest. It's the right policy. I mean, and I have to say, over the last years, nothing has happened. The ups and downs have dissuaded me from that. And we'll see. You know, our shareholders will see the benefit of that over the coming months. It's definitely.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Miles.
No, not at all.
Our next question comes from the line of Jake Thompson from O'Day. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Good morning, Miles. Thanks for taking my call. Just two questions, really, on the margins, following up to earlier comments. Can you give me a bit more detail on how you've been able to improve your operating margins despite the test line of pressures from the February increase? Even a four-month lag and a February increase, I'm just wondering how you were able to improve margins in May, June and July. And you give colour on those synergies and volume leverage, 1-2%. It seems like quite a neat feat. And the second sort of related question is, given what Barry mentioned in the August price increase, what's your view on your ability and timing to pass that through? So presumably, if you're sort of going for the rest of the calendar year, that's going to be another significant cost pressure you'll try and overcome as well. So a bit more colour on both those points would be really appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, no, not at all. The margin improvement is it comes from a number of areas. Firstly, we all the time we try to improve the mix of business, and we have, as we explained last year, that growth that we're talking about is actually net of the exit of business that we don't think is attractive for our customers, and it's better that other suppliers supply it where it's very low margin and commoditised. It's just not the best use of our assets. So the business mix is improving. It's partly behind what I was talking about earlier, this quality of growth. It's not the absolute growth number, it's the quality of the growth that you're getting. Things like cyclicality and the margin that you get from it. So firstly, we're getting a small mix improvement. Secondly, you've got the operational leverage that you've talked about. We do get volume growth. We have, the overheads are actually coming down, and we obviously have a gross margin coming through. And the last part of it is the ongoing cost improvements, including the SCA synergies, and as a result of those, our margins have been improving. And I think this, you know, I could just only re-emphasise this discipline on the type of growth, what's really adding value, culling what we call the tail. So we're not just interested in growth, and by the way, the margins have fallen. You know, it's about quality of growth. And then when we come back to this, you know, paper prices have increased. We do have a paper business. We say we're short in paper, so we have had an overall negative effect, but this has been offset by those other issues. But as the indices and trigger, and as we talk to our customers about the increases, then we're going to see. We certainly anticipate that we'll be able to raise the prices for our packaging business. You know, but fully in line with our expectations. I have to say, it's been quite a, just as an industry, with the price of raw materials and paper, it's been quite a challenging time the last 10, 12 months. It's everything we've delivered is it certainly hasn't been an easy environment by any means, either in terms of profitability of things like paper, the end markets, and we don't plan for it, but you know, it would be nice to start to see the end markets lifting up a bit and start seeing the profitability of things like paper improving. That will certainly be beneficial.
I have one more follow-up, if you don't mind, Miles. So in terms of the your UK paper assets, we had Townsend Hook being rebuilt and turning off for the next few months. What positive impact does that have on your business? And then can you quantify the sort of negative impact on your business as presumably your assets move up the cost curve when that is sort of turned on again? Thank you.
Yeah, it's that mill. Is that about 250,000 tonnes? That's right. Well, the thing with paper is that you effectively have a commoditised product. And the market in which the oversupply demand balance works, it's not complete. It's complete right, but it's broadly sort of on a European basis. Iberia is a little bit different, and right out on the east of Europe is a little bit different. But that sort of central, France, Germany, the UK, you can just sort of move the paper around. So when you look at a mill coming out like this one you've alluded to, I understand. It's going to be rebuilt. They're going to add capacity back. Yeah. If you look at that, you've got to look on a European basis. And if it's 250,000 tonnes total European market, it's only going to be a small percentage. But obviously, it's going in the right direction to restrict the supply. The thing is, if it's 250,000 tonnes on, say, a 20 million tonne market, you only need mills to run an extra couple of percent for various reasons, perhaps lower downtime, and you're going to be able to recover that that volume. So we don't see there being a dramatic effect. And of course, this closure follows the opening of a new mill by a privately owned company in the UK that's added capacity to the UK. So certainly capacity coming out helps. I don't believe it's a structural change. It may have a very short effect in a very local area for a very limited amount of time. But I don't think you'll change anything fundamentally. I should say, in terms of our cost base, if this mill is 250,000 tonnes, our mill Kemsley, I think it's Europe's second largest mill, 850,000 tonnes, we really don't have an issue at all with where the cost base is. You've got to operate these assets at their optimum point, at their lowest cost. But their lowest cost relative to other businesses, there's an awful lot around the size of the assets, the technology, your power solution, the access to fibre, and a number of those things are actually to do with the UK and the UK market. So we are quite confident about about our cost position, and if the new mill comes back in the European market, it's just will or it won't. I don't think it has a significant effect on us.
Thank you, Mars.
We currently have no further questions coming through, so ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your keypad. We have one further question. It comes from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hi, Miles. David O'Brien from Goodbody here. Just two from me, if I may. Firstly, you allude to market share gains in the statement. Could you give us an idea or quantify the level of outperformance there? And secondly, just piecing together your commentary on the other regions, would it be fair to say the UK volumes have lagged slightly the European business as a whole for the corrugated side?
Yeah. We've done better. The GDP for our region was about flat, and our volumes have been certainly above 1% growth. So we are actually a bit better than the GDP plus 1%. But it is just only one quarter. That's all I'll sort of caution on. But we have done better than that. The UK's volumes in the period are broadly flat. It's one quarter. The overall UK market hasn't shown any particular signs of life. I mean, it's okay, but it's perhaps showing a little bit more encouragement very recently. But all of this, it's just a bit of caution that it is one quarter, and our business is very focused on FMCG. I mean, this is food and drink, and yes, there can be a housing and a construction uptick, but we're just not really focused there. So I say again, our growth, we're after quality of growth that we see consistently coming through, and when the economies get have some more challenges in the future, which I'm sure they will, our shareholders know that our volume is going to hold up and they're resilient, and it's not chasing the here today, gone tomorrow type of work. And in terms of the share gains, what we really have here is a turnaround in this in the XFCA business. We had a business that really wasn't going anywhere, and now we're able to put ourselves on a pan-European basis. We've seen our large customers really respond to that. They told us they wanted a pan-European supplier. They told us they wanted leadership in the industry. We formed this business, and they are rewarding us. I'm looking here at the data, I'm looking at the countries, and it's encouraging, and an awful lot of it comes, as I said before, from the from that whole sort of central Western European business. It's nice to see it, but as I said earlier, Belgium, just as very local markets, had a few issues.
That's great, thanks very much.
No, not at all.
And we currently have no further questions coming through, so just another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad. We now have no further questions coming through, so I will hand you back to your host to conclude today's conference.
Well, firstly, everybody, thank you again for your time. We do appreciate it. And just to reiterate, the current year has started well. It's in line with our expectations. Return on sales and return on capital employed have both been improving. And our overall outlook remains positive as we grow our business and deliver the synergies. And we view the remainder of the year with confidence. Thank you for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.